Metallica playing on the Danny Lakey Show on Triple M around the country.
Going sober.
What?
Going sober.
What an idiot.
Well, this is Sober Blokes on the Danny Lakey Show.
It is Sober Blokes, and Clinton Schultz joins me. Not only is he the founder of Australia's first non-alcoholic craft beer company, he's also sober, and he's a psychologist who can specialise in drug and alcohol use as well. So I mean, he's not a one-trick pony, this guy. Welcome, Mr. Schultz.
Thanks, mate. Glad to be back.
I don't want to ostracise about 95% of the listeners are going, oi, I won't be sober. I don't care what you say. It's all about, I guess, rethinking your attitudes to drinking and maybe having even a healthy relationship with alcohol, which is very much open to a lot of people, right? Not you and I. As things have become apparent, Clinton Schultz, hashtag 6 years sober for us. But there are other people out there that could probably just get a little more into why they drink and how they drink and where they're drinking.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a vast majority of Aussies could take a few minutes to just be a bit more mindful about their drinking habits.
There was no mindfulness going on when I was doing it. It was, right, BWS, pick up carton, go home, open carton, drink.
Yeah, for sure. I think it comes down to three basic questions. And if we just put a couple of minutes into considering those three basic questions, sometimes our decisions may be different. The first question that I try and get people to consider is, when am I drinking? Am I straight off to the pub every afternoon after work? Or is it just occasionally when I'm having dinner with my mates?
And if you were someone who is going to the pub every afternoon, just for a couple, it's no big deal. Or even if you were like a housewife or something, having a vino or two with their partner when they get home every evening, is that a problem you reckon in your books?
Well, that leads into the next question, which is, why are you drinking when you are drinking? So it's, if I am going off to the pub every afternoon, taking a couple of minutes to consider, why is it that I'm actually doing that? Is there something that I'm avoiding? Is it, you know, I'm really unhappy with my job and I need to de-stress? So looking at those whys can help us to be more considered in our drinking habits.
Yes, I think back to when I was a crippling alcoholic and the reasons why I might drink. I found boredom was a big one, and I found it something that really helped out during the first 6 months of being sober as well. Sometimes, as ridiculous as it sounds, it was just thirst. Like I'd get a craving if I was really thirsty, and then it coincided with a Friday afternoon and I just finished work. I'm like, oh, well, a six pack now for the big boy. And when I was sober and it started out, I'd just have a couple of waters when I had that craving. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, okay, well, now that I'm not thirsty, I don't quite feel as much like it anyway. And then I guess I got into probably an excuse to get attention. I think I just enjoyed the drunk me more than the sober me. I thought I was more charismatic. I thought I was more full of energy. I thought I was funner. And for the first six beers, I think I was right as well.
I think most people think that.
That's why I like the radio as well, because it kind of gives you an excuse to just sort of act like a bit of a goose and let your hair down and get an adrenaline rush in a different way. But is there a big problem for people that just feel that they are a better version of themselves whilst drinking? Because I think people laugh it off, but probably deep down, people do agree with that.
Yeah, no, I think social anxiety is a massive factor in terms of people's choice to drink, but I don't think many people are aware that that's why they're actually doing it. I don't think people are aware that they maybe are uncomfortable to engage in a conversation or uncomfortable getting up on the dance floor sober because they're worried about other people's judgments. Whereas once you've had a couple, we all know, you know, you stop worrying about other people's judgments. So I think that social anxiety definitely plays into it.
Well, there's a big pressure as well, even with social media these days, to feel like you are an extrovert. You're almost sort of shunned or made to feel embarrassed if you admit to people that you're an introvert and you quite like your own space a little bit more. And I think since I've been sober, I've sort of learnt myself that I actually quite like my own space a lot. Don't get me wrong, I don't mind socialising with people, but a lot of the time, if I had it my own way, I just like hanging out by myself and doing activities that please numero uno. But I think for so long, there was that pressure. You must be an extrovert. Well, how's it easy to be an extrovert? You start drinking. And then you meet people on like Tinder and stuff. I met a girl the other day and she was like, oh, this lockdown, this whole COVID thing, it's crazy because I get my energy from people. I'm like, well, do you get your energy from people? Because you seem pretty bland over breakfast, but I'm sure you do get your energy when you're around people because coincidentally, you're also a couple of vinos deep.
Yeah, for sure. It's an interesting thing, you know. As human beings, we seek connection. It's one of the things that we're constantly looking for in our life, but it's also one of the things that we're most fearful of. So you've got both ends of that, where you've got people who know that they want connection, but just don't feel comfortable enough to engage with it until they've had a couple. And then often when they have had that couple, people decide, well, I don't really like this person because they're kind of an idiot when they're pissed.
Oh yeah, my mate Big Terry, he's an idiot. He's only allowed 3 drinks if he's to hang out with us. That's a hard and fast rule for Big T now. He knows who he is. More with Clinton Schultz next on the Danny Lakey Show. It's Sober Blokes. Around the country on the Danny Lakey Show at Triple M, 133.53, Fight Night, latest ring toss from the Jeff Horn, Tim Zoo fight. They're about to touch gloves and kick off any second, but the ring announcer apparently had to call out Tim Zoo and accidentally said, "Welcoming to the ring, Tim Horn." One job, Ringy.
One job, mate. Come on.
Just adding a little bit of extra spice with the whole controversy all week when they couldn't decide who was going to come out. They would have been confused then. Was it me? Did I agree to come out first? Nevertheless, we're going to keep you posted on the action if you can't be streaming the fight tonight. A couple of nights ago, I mentioned that I live next to a happy ending massage parlour.
Wasn't that naughty?
And it's juicy gear. It never struck my mind when I first moved into this new place.
That sounds all too convenient.
What is it? A little 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom, happy ending massage place next door?
I'll take it.
I didn't mind that that's next door. I thought, well, that could provide some fun if push comes to shove. But what I didn't realise is that my bedroom is exactly next door to the massage parlour as well. And I said a couple of nights ago, I've been waking up every morning to guys' moans, firing off sneaky endings around 10 o'clock.
So grim.
I know.
Like, that is the worst way possible to wake up for anyone.
What I've noticed is that men are very diverse creatures. Some guys have like the little, others are like, some like to swear when they're doing it. Oh, shit.
So you fully can hear everything.
I hear everything.
Like, it's paper-thin walls.
Yeah. And I've posted a video. I posted it on my Instagram. Have we reshared it on the Danny Lakey Show Instagram?
I haven't listened, but sadly, yes, we have reshared it.
I'm in my bedroom, and you can genuinely hear the Asian lady next door. And earlier on today, I heard that there was some commotion going on. I mean, I don't mind. I don't mind a little listen in. I quite like it.
You didn't get closer to the door.
I found myself pressing my ear up against the wall, right?
Oh, Lakey, privacy.
Seriously, well, they don't know I'm there. And whatever, I was like, oh, the sound's like a little bit further behind me. I go back to my cupboard, right? It's the strangest cupboard you've ever seen. It's like a Narnia cupboard. You open this thing, it's all old school. There's an old safe in there, a massive safe in there.
But you I don't know what's in it.
I don't know the code to it. I assume it's empty. I might try cracking into that and I'll keep you posted on that. There's this old Telstra box. But in the cupboard, the walls have gotten even thinner. You can literally hear every single word this guy and this woman or whoever's in there are talking about all the time. It was fascinating stuff. I was a fly on the wall. I felt like that. No, what's that movie where that guy.
It's not right that you're peeping and peering through.
Can I say something? Can I be truthful?
What?
I got a sneaky job. Sneaky. Sneaky. Not full. Half.
Okay. Sorry. That's fine for you to
You know a half.
Don't be mentioning that on the radio.
You know when you're not in a regional area, but you're not in a metropolitan city and you've got that half bar phone you're coverage? That's me.
I'm not having this conversation.
I've posted it's on the Danny Lakey Show Instagram.
Oh, the
chub. No, not the chub. So the fact that you can hear this lady and the guy talking. And I've jotted down some of the notes here, and I'll start taking notes of these clients
not
and these guys.
No one's asking you to take notes of this.
I think this guy was a regular because they were chatting like they knew each other very well. And at one point he says, "Do I get a kiss? Can I get a kiss?" I heard that.
This is like the happy ending diary.
He wanted, "Do I get a kiss?" And she was like, "No, no." He's like, "Come on, just give me a kiss."
The mouth is for eating, not for sex.
No, I can't agree more, Ugandan president Robert Museveni or whatever his name is. And then she must have known him quite well because they were sort of like playful, like rubbing each other around, like sort of bashing against the walls a little bit. And she's like, no kiss. And he's like, "Oh, stop you." This is the sinister part. He goes, "Stop yelling. That's why I came here, to get away from me wife." No word of a lie. No word of a lie.
No.
Stop yelling. That's why I came here to get away from my wife.
And I don't condone this.
Well, I mean, who am I to judge? I mean, who knows what's going on at home? But she'd probably
be
pretty.
You can't judge also because you've got your ear up to your wardrobe, like inside the wardrobe, trying to listen.
Yeah. And it kept going on there. She's shouting. And he's like, stop yelling at me, for goodness sake. Stop yelling. It was a very weird, bizarre conversation. And I was kind of like sort of siding with this guy. But I was like, oh, this is, you know, it's someone who's managed to build up this second life in a way. And although it's probably not completely moral and ethical, this guy's clearly got a connection with this woman. And, you know, he probably like quite likes her when she's probably firing off another 12 dudes that day. And he doesn't quite realize it. Give me a kiss. Stop yelling at me. That kind of thing. And then I lost all sympathy for him when he finally goes, geez, stop yelling. Your mouth's almost as big as me cock.
Pardon?
Well, that's a very creative way of telling someone to be quiet. Powderfinger on the Danny Lakey Show around the country on Triple M 133353. Tim Zoo all over Jeff Horn like a rash. Fennec once the fight stopped in round four. Absolutely one-sided at the moment. We'll keep you posted as details come to hand. Right now, though, from one alpha male to another, Kevin Bacon. Is there anyone more masculine that you think of when you think top echelon male figures in the world?
Are you joking?
The Baconator.
Okay, no one's going to be like, all right, who's a big dog? Who's the top dog? Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon. Can I actually confess, I have heard the name Kevin Bacon thrown around in numerous circles, weekly, really. Don't think I've ever seen a Kevin Bacon movie, because when I saw this video today, I didn't recognise his face. I thought, oh, you could have walked right past me in the street, Kevin Bacon. I would have never realised.
Yeah, he'd be one of those people you'd go, is that someone famous? I'm not 100% sure. What films is he even in?
I'm not sure.
I'm going to have to Google it.
Well, I'll do a quick Google. But fame aside with the Baconator, he's shared how he eats a mango on Instagram. And this is big gear.
Good morning. I have to keep my voice down because you know I was still asleep. I just wanted to show you my morning mango routine.
His morning mango routine.
Better than anything in the world. Better than mango even.
Every great man starts his morning with a morning mango routine.
Is that what you do?
That's what I've done ever since I realised that the highest echelon of man, a.k.a. Kevin Bacon, is starting his day with a mango. I don't know like what Kevin Bacon's mango upbringing was, because he's sharing this morning mango routine like it's some sort of life hack. Like no one has ever realised how to do this with a mango before. And he's labelled it, and he's hashtagged this, hashtag morning mango, hashtag fruit trick. So what he's done, he's just got half a mango. He's sliced off the cheek, as per usual mango practice. And then he started scoring the mango in parallel lines one way. And then he scored the mango with a knife the other way with parallel lines. And then he's folded it out, you know, like an outside in swimming hat. That's how you eat the mango, right?
Classic mango procedure.
This is Kevin Bacon just thinking that, you know, this needs to be shared with the world. And this is some sort of brain explosion. Game-changing fruit trick.
Everyone's doing this every day with a mango.
Good morning. I have to keep my voice down because you know I was still asleep. I just wanted to show you my morning mango routine.
He does that. He shows everyone. He pulls it out, sort of folds it out on itself, and look at all the nice little squares, and starts chopping down like a pig at a slaughterhouse. And then this is the bit that really got me. Listen to this word that no 50-year-old man should ever say on Instagram.
Refreshing.
What did he say?
Refreshing.
Not refreshing. Refreshing.
Refreshing.
With a W. Refreshing.
Come on, Bacon.
Easy there, Bacon.
I'm sorry, do you already know this trick?
Why are you whispering to me, 50-year-old man? I do already know the trick. And what I like about this, it is the hashtag morning mango, hashtag fruit tricks. He's then trying to get some Instagram follower engagement, and he said, what's your favourite fruit trick?
which I scrolled, juggling some fruit?
I scrolled through the comments for a good 7 minutes longer than I care to admit, and not one person commented with some sort of fruit trick. And I'm just wondering, it's not just me. Like, fruit-based tricks aren't really, like, close together. They're few and far between, surely. Like, there can't be too many fruit-based trickeries out there.
If you got a fruit-based trick, then give us a call.
133353, do you have a fruit-based trick? Are we throwing bacon a bone here? Am I being too harsh on the Baconator 5000, the Bacon Nick McMuffin? Am I being too hard on Big Kev?
Everyone's going to have a fruit trick.
Well, you mentioned earlier about the cherry stem. That was maybe the only thing.
That's the only fruit trick. When you put the cherry in your mouth with the stem and you can twist it and make it into like a knot.
A little knot. As far as I know, that must be the only trick.
100%. Out there. I'm backing you on that.
Because I've often said that I eat an apple quite an interesting way. I'll eat the core and all on the apple. The trick is not to eat the apple like a normal apple and then be left with this core that you've got to shove down. You start at the bottom of the apple. You lick its little furry arsehole and then you come up the apple to the stalk. So you're basically a fifth of every bite of the apple does have a little bit of the core in it, but you don't notice it.
Why? Just cut it up like a normal apple.
No, because I like doing fruit tricks, you see.
Can I just say the movie that made Kevin Bacon famous, which is very fitting?
What?
Footloose.
Oh, yeah.
Real fruit behaviour.
Typical Bacon stuff. Can anyone throw Bacon a bone? Any fruit-based tricks on 133353? On the Danny Lakey Show, if you got one, give us a call. Green Day on the Danny Lakey Show around the country.
If you got a fruit-based trick, then give us a call.
Well, it's been one of the only times I've hoped no one would call 133353 because I don't like it when people come to the party and throw Bacon a bone. Kevin Bacon, that is, who has been soliciting on Instagram for the past 24 hours after sharing his amazing mango hack.
Good morning. I have to keep my voice down because you know I was still asleep. I just wanted to show you my morning mango routine.
All right, Bacon. Everyone's got their own routine, champ.
Refreshing.
Refreshing, he says.
Bit of bone, Bakes.
It's just your standard slice, dice, fold out the mango and then eat all the cubes fresh off the skin. That's not a trick. That's just how you eat a mango, Kevin Bacon. But I love his little post on Instagram, hashtag morning mango, hashtag fruit trick. And then he's asked his followers, what's your favourite fruit trick? I don't know if there's any, apart from maybe the half-assed, nerdy way of eating a cherry, spitting out the pip, and then tying a nice little bow with the stem. 133353. Tanya, you've called in. It's not really a fruit-based trick, but you're more coming to the party saying that you are a fellow apple core muncher.
I am.
Great. So do you work it the same way I do, where I get down to the bottom, it's a little furry bit, treat it like a small little butthole, sort of get it nice and keen and then gain its trust and then just start eating from the bottom up?
No, I'm a bit fussy. If I bite the apple, I have to eat from the left all the way around to where I've bitten.
Well, it's a common thing that I've seen with non-core eaters. It's called orbiting, and you'll start around and you'll work your way around anti-clockwise around the apple, but then I assume you're left with this core at the end, and then you're just stubborn.
I've always eaten the apple core, but I'm going to show my age here. As a child, my grandmother would peel our oranges and then put the orange peels in the oven for them to shrink a bit, and then she'd put sugar over them, and we'll eat them as lollies.
Whoa! Now there's a fruit trick. That counts as a bloody fruit trick.
I'm sorry, the orange trick.
That absolutely. Well, that's cool. So I'd imagine it obviously it bakes out the bitterness of them, then you put a bit of sugar on it, and then I can imagine that. I'm a textures man, you see. I'm a sucker for a good, unique texture, and I can see that how it would just fall on the molars very nicely, almost crystallise. Yeah. I don't mind that out.
I'm a bit of a strange one because I like mango with Worcestershire sauce.
Oh, a triple story from Tanya.
Yeah.
She is a strange one.
I'm all for sweet and savoury, but I don't like that, Tans.
Well, she likes mixing the sauces and the fruits together. Ian, hello.
Yes, hi there.
Hi there. You've got a fruit trick?
I guess so. I slice up the skin off the orange and slice it up in nice little neat circles.
Ooh. Well, that's very nice.
And
this is delving into craft now.
Well, it makes it look nicer, and it doesn't have any white of the bitterness of the skin left on it at all.
You know what it is? It's a bloody fruit trick. It's a fruit-based drink.
You know what it is? It's refreshing.
Stop saying this word, men.
Oh, come on. It's adorable.
Oh, God. Thanks, Ian. Danny messaged on the Instagram. He said, you can cut around a banana and slice the skin. It pops out like a dog's dick. Very nice. Just what you want in a banana.
That's a bizarre call.
I'm trying to figure out how to do it. I assume you've got it at the bottom, almost like you see the cartoon monkeys do. They'll squeeze it sort of out of its peel.
Yeah, so I think you hold it by the bottom, by the little, what did you call that? Little extra knob bit.
Yeah.
And then, but you cut the bottom of the other end and then squeeze it so it just pops out.
Oh, yeah. I can see how that would come out like a dog stick. It wouldn't retract like a dog stick, though, would it? Michelle. On 133353.
Too much.
God's sake.
I've never watched the retraction.
No, I'm going to go on the record actually and retract my statements. Say I've also never seen a dog's dick.
That's two retractions.
Yeah, double retraction. Wrap it up. What's the fruit trick that you're doing?
So, I was out camping when I was a lot younger, and the boyfriend I had at the time was ex-army, and he wanted a bong, and we couldn't find a bottle to make him one. Mm. So then he pulled out a piece of fruit out of the bag and basically got his hose, shoved it into the fruit, and made his thumb a hole in the top in which to smoke it from, and proceeded to then smoke his dope in front of us out of a piece of fruit.
You know what it is? It's a bloody fruit trick.
Yes.
What was the fruit?
It was an orange.
Oh, yes. One of the greats. One of the greats. It's a double applause. It's a double retraction.
Exactly.
Oh, one of the great stories, the fruit tricks. Thank you very much, Michelle. Well, I stand corrected on the Baconator.